and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast. Whether it's a friend or a neighbour, you could employ them as your disability support worker. Visit carersolutions.com.au.
All right, we're here for another episode. Nick and Jules and M. No Jules, just M and Nick. Jules is actually in this podcast. We had her on today.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All three of us together again.
Back at it again. Can I get you to ease up on your microphone? Because I can't control the volume too heavily here.
Yes.
Just chill out a little bit.
You don't want me to be eating my mic?
Ideally, no. But, you know, everyone's got different mic techniques, don't they?
I just love to munch on mine.
I'm a mic muncher. What can I say? I'm just a mic muncher.
That's me.
Yeah.
I have an interesting, maybe not conundrum, but I want to unpack something that, I don't want to say unpack, but I've already said it. So here I am. Mm. My friend, let's call him Jordan because that's his name.
Yep.
Jordan and I had made plans over the weekend. I was down in Melbourne and I was like, hey, do you want to catch up? He was like, yeah, absolutely. He'd been to Europe and a lot of things have happened in his life. And he was like, yeah, let's have some, vinos and a chat on Saturday afternoon from about 3 p.m.
Let's dish.
Right. And I was like, cool. Sounds great. Lock it in. Good, good, good. Mm-hmm. And then at 9:30 on Saturday morning, I got a message from him that was like, hey, I'm so, 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 so sorry to do this, but...
Did he really say that many so's?
Let me read you the actual message, eh?
Oh, okay, I regret asking.
No, you don't.
Okay.
It's probably better. The actual message is probably better than anything I could have...
Can you do it in a Jordan voice, please? Because in my head, I imagined him to sound a specific way, and if he doesn't sound that way, I'll be disappointed, but...
Morning.
Oh, not at all, what I
So I'm severely hungover, like really, really bad. A very unexpected big night. I've only had 3 hours sleep and I'm going to try have more, but I'm really, really sorry. I may have to rain check today. I feel really bloody bad, but I just cannot socialize in this state, let alone smell alcohol. Mm. Do you have plans for tomorrow at all? If you do, I'll suck it up for today, but just probs won't be drinking. Ha ha. Let me know.
Okay. Jordan sounds a lot like him. Side note. By the way.
I did give up on the impression.
I noticed.
You may or may not have noticed.
Yeah. All right.
Also, Jordan, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not. I hope it's okay that I read your message to me.
She said some other stuff about you off air, Jordan, that was, well, checks out with the character that I know. Bit of a piker, a bailer.
No, well, I kind of respect it. Like
bailing?
Well, no, I don't respect bailing, but if you're going to bail, I'd much rather you be like, listen, yo, I feel terrible.
You better be dying.
No, I have been in a similar state in the past and I've been like, I truly do not want to leave my house.
You're right.
And I respect the fact that you're just like real about it. Like you're not going to say, oh, something's come up.
I respect the honesty. I don't respect the thing, I suppose, is my take. Because the honesty of being like, hey, look, this is just where it's at. That's good rather than just being like, hey, sorry, can't make it. That would have been annoying.
Right.
That would have sucked.
Exactly. I like knowing the truth, you know?
Even if the truth hurts.
Precisely. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie, a couple of times throughout the morning, I was like, it's a bit shit. Like, I'm not here very often.
Yeah. Oh, I do the exact same. Whenever I go down to Melbourne, I have a friend, Hato, who is known for, he's the most horrendously unreliable guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I did a radio show with him once. I don't know how we managed that.
I'm surprised.
And he bails, like, he bails probably more often than he is there.
Wow.
I think that he's on a recently good streak. Mm-hmm. So that might have swayed, but there was a very good first 6 months of this year. I thought, mate, what are you doing? But he'll just bail.
What were some of his excuses? Did he ever have excuses or he would just bail?
Once he had a pretty good excuse, which I won't say on air because it's sad. But he was fine. It's fine.
Okay.
But all the other ones where it's like, oh, you know, something's come up or it generally has ended up being like, he's gotten a better offer, I think. And I go, that's shit. Because like, yeah, I've made an effort to come down here. I also didn't see him for like ages when I was living in Queensland, but you know.
A better offer. You know,
sometimes it's work as well, which I appreciate, but also I go, you know, we made plans. I have to book them like I book my friends 4 to 6 weeks in advance. when I saw them most recently, I booked them 6 weeks in advance and then would check in weekly to be like, hey, we're still on for this date. Hey, we're still, and I hate having to do that.
But you want to see your friends.
But I don't want them to have I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that they're there. And if they're going to disappoint me, then that's the other side of it.
How do you feel about this scenario? If you, for example, Nick, were like, oh, this tonight, do you want to come and play trivia? Mm-hmm. Right. And then I respond to you, let me get back to you. And then I go to my other friend and I go, hey, Jules, do you want to go and get dinner and some drinks tonight? And then based on her answer, I give you your answer.
If I don't know about the secondary approach, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
And also, I think it depends on whether or not that thought happened first or second. Because if I was thinking of asking my friend to go get dinner anyway, then, but you get asked before you get the chance to ask your friend, then that's fine. But if you go, hey, Nick, do you want to go do trivia? And then I go, let me get back to you. And then I go actively seeking a better option. The actively seeking of a better option is pretty shit.
That's the part that really hurts you.
I think so. But then again, like, you know, if I don't know about it, then so be it. But, you know.
Bit shady.
Oh, shady. Bad. I think if you ever do that, you're a bad friend.
Okay. You heard
generally,
it here first.
Bad friend. Value your friends. I make a big effort because I'll talk crap on Hayden for being late and, like, you know, unreliable Absent. All the time. I'll say it to his face as well, like, very easily. He knows that. But to the point where, like, a couple weekends ago, I was going down on the, after the show on the Friday. The idea was I'm going to see the guys on Saturday, on the Friday night, spend some time with my parents on the Saturday, come back on the Sunday morning to play soccer Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
My soccer game on the Sunday afternoon got rescheduled to like midday on Saturday.
Oh.
So I was like, my parents were like, oh, don't even bother coming home. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you know, if you got to play soccer. I was like, no, because I made plans with my friends.
Whoa.
And so I took the 3-hour train trip to hang out with them on the Friday night and took it back first thing on the Saturday morning.
Whoa.
Because I wanted to make, I made a point. I was like, I didn't just bail.
Wait, so you did it so you could stay on your high horse?
No, I didn't want to see them. I didn't see them in ages. But also, a side note was like, I generally think that like I value people's time and I would like them to do the same thing to me. And so how can I preach about it and how can I have that value if I don't do the same thing?
Wow. Nick, that's like, pretty impressive levels of friendship.
Thank you. I think so. And I extend that and I would expect it in return, but I guess you can't do both.
You can't
expect it if you don't extend it.
I will cancel on my friends if the wind hits me a little inappropriately.
It doesn't need above the knee.
It doesn't need to be big.
Yeah.
But I think it should be socially normalized that if you don't feel like hanging out with people, you shouldn't have to push the point. Like sometimes I'll have made plans. This is probably, it happens less now that I don't have as much time with my people because obviously, you know, I'm away from there and I have to like travel like you do to get to see them. But when I lived in Melbourne, I definitely would like make plans with people on, let's say, a Friday or maybe the Monday, and then Thursday night or Friday morning would come around and I'd just feel like antisocial,
and I
would cancel purely because I was just like, I don't want to.
I think if you're in the same town, that is probably a fine way of doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, in our situations where it's a bit of an effort for us to go make time to see them. And like I said, I'm booking them 6 weeks in advance.
Mm.
Like, you know, if you bail on me last minute, if you bail on me like week of or even like, you know, the day of, which has happened, I'd go, that's...
Dog.
What are you doing? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Be better. You know, and I don't know what part of it is like, are they actually, do they just not want to hang out with people at the time? Do they get the better offer? Do they have work? But I go, schedule your time better.
What are your thoughts on friendships for life? Like, how do you feel about people that are friends with people that they went to high school with, for example?
In what sense?
I just have this weird, I guess, thoughts, feeling that if you're still friends with your friends that you were friends with in high school... That was too many friends. But if you're still friends with your friends that you were friends with in high school, like something's wrong.
I kind of agree in parts.
Mm-hmm.
But then in saying that, my best friend is a friend from high school. We weren't best friends in high school, though.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't meet him until like the back end of year 12. So
okay.
Really got in under the gun there. Turns out we have like obviously we become best friends. We have a lot in common. Hence why because we pursued similar sort of media paths and done a bunch of travel together, X, Y, and Z, whatever. But I do see the issue with, because generally, and I do love to generalize, it's obviously the most fair thing to do, but when their key friendship group is like their high school friends, in my experience, that means they have, like, they probably have, like, you know, either uni or other work friends or whatever they've done in their life. They probably have other friends outside of that group. But if that's their core friendship group, I often find some aspects of their social and like interacting to be a bit stunted.
Mm-hmm.
And so my ex-girlfriend, as of like last year, whenever it was, I lived in Brisbane with her, and her main friendship group was her like high school friendship group.
Mm-hmm.
And they were nice people, but because there was like a level of they've just known each other for that long, and I just, some of the stuff that they did and as they were hanging out, I'd be like, that's, you know, that's either weird or why are we, you know, that would probably not fly in a lot of other friendship circles. And then if I was ever to be like not okay with what they were doing, I was the one on the outside.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a great situation. I'm not there anymore.
Yes.
Which, you know, hindsight, you know, in hindsight, that is one of the good things that I lost in the relationship, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I think I do agree. If it's just your high school friends, sometimes it goes, oh.
Yeah. I don't want to smack talk, but it just feels like, where's your lived experience? Like I can't fathom talking to my high school friends now. Obviously I've been out of high school for quite a while, but like I'm a completely different person.
Yeah.
You know, and I've grown and I've traveled and I've seen stuff and I've felt stuff, and I just feel it would be speaking to like a person speaking in a foreign language if I was to go and talk to my high school friends now.
And that's not to say that it's bad to have your high school friends, but I think it's like if it's solely, I think that becomes an issue. Because yeah, you should go out and live your life. I have a similar opinion of people who have never left the town that they grew up in. Like I do think that everyone should almost be like forced by the government to move towns.
See, I have people, family members actually, who have done that. They've never kind of really left the town that they're in, but they don't want to. And so I'm like, well, if you don't want to, then you should be able to just do what you want, which is to not leave.
I agree, but I also just think that they might not know any different.
Well, what I think.
Well, you don't know that you don't know that's what you want.
You just could love it.
Yeah, you might. And I just think that this is going to be a strange example, but in South Korea, they have 2 years mandatory military service.
Yep.
And that's done to provide you with different pathways, different careers, different whole bunch of different things. And a lot of people actually stay on because they, you know, enjoy it. But a lot of them, they're not against it because, like, it sounds pretty harsh to force, like, military service on them. But a lot of them, from what I spoke to when I was there recently, a lot of the people, they go, oh, you know, like going into it, you kind of go like, ah, it's just part of life. But then coming out of it, you go, oh, I was given this many more experiences and I found what I want to do in life because of those 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think moving away or traveling as well is very much the same, where it's like, it might not be what you want to do all the time or forever, but I think that it gives you a bit more perspective on the world.
Mm.
And I don't know if you get perspective if you stay in the same small town your entire life. Mm. Even if you think that's what you want to do and you might enjoy it, but there are things that you might enjoy more and you don't know that yet. I do think that people owe that to themselves as well, to explore a bit more.
All right, Dr. Nick. I like it.
Pretty smart from a, pretty smart from a guy who this morning did airplane sound effects into the talking stick. Wow. I don't have actually very many strong beliefs, and I do think that those are probably, you probably touched on the two main ones.
Wow.
That and gun control. Pretty all for gun control, but not really an issue here, so that's fine.
Well, now you've touched on all three of your
main. I solved gun control, and so that really, I could sort of cross that off my list.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Back in the 90s. Was I alive for Port Arthur?
I don't know.
I was born in 95. What year was not Port Arthur? 97, 99?
Were you born in 95?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? I thought you were 28.
When a mum and a, yeah, it's 23, 2023.
What? I'm really bad at maths. That doesn't check out.
At 100, I don't know how, I'm struggling to find a world wherein it doesn't check out.
Oh, yeah, wait, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, 8, yeah.
I can't see a world where it doesn't make sense.
But I'm not 3 years older than you. But am I? Oh, because I'm turning 31 this year.
Yeah, and I just turned 28.
All right, maths, I like it.
We went from some really insightful introspection into friendships and branching out and exploring the world to you unable to do basic arithmetic.
Hey, listen, that's life, you know? I can't be good at everything because that would be unfair.
Well said, Dr. M. It's another episode of the Nick and Jules and M podcast. We're out of here. And you know what? I was going to try and say something incredibly introspective, but guess what?
I don't have anything.
You're enough. Unless you haven't moved out of your same town, in which case you might not be, but who knows.
But live your best life.
In another town.
Dream, believe, be.
In a new postcode. or with different friends. I think it was our advice for this podcast is move and get new friends.
Yes. All right. Yes. And 95, they're 28 this year.
Some big takeaways. All right. See you tomorrow.
Over the weekend, I went to a cafe, had some coffee. Magic was not something that I thought would be a part of my cafe experience.
Well, I can imagine. I think a lot of baristas underpaid, so you've got to have a side hustle.
Well, there you go. That does make sense. But I was sitting there just like having brunch, and this guy at the table next to us was like, when the waiter came over for his order, he was like, yeah, can I get a magic? And the way he said it was like a, like really coy and aloof.
Like he didn't want anyone to hear, like, hey, does it look around?
Yes. And I was like, is this some kind of like secret cafe where there's like a door that you get to like pull a book and then you go into like a secret society for magicians or something? Like it was very bizarre.
Can I get a magic? It also feels grammatically incorrect.
Right. It was like, can I get a magic? It wasn't like, give me some magic. It was like, ah, magic. And so I was very confused, and he had said it just loud enough for me to hear it. And I think he saw that I had heard. And so I was kind of looking at him really strange, and he was like, oh, it's a coffee. And I was like, huh?
It's a coffee called a magic.
Yes. And I was like, what is it? And he was like, it's a coffee that was invented in Melbourne.
Sure,
and
of course it was.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Checks out.
And it's like an espresso with a three-quarter latte, like a combination of those two coffees.
Uh-huh.
In some ways, I kind of respect it, because instead of having to say, can I have a super hot, one-shot, three-quarter soy iced latte, he can just say this one word.
Oh, because the more syllables in your coffee order, the more of a wanker you sound like.
Exactly. Exactly. So he can just say one word and he gets the coffee, right?
You say a magic, you also seem more mysterious.
That's true. I was like, who is this man?
Yeah.
What kind of spy agency does he work for?
Mm.
Well, that would be so cool. But I was definitely expecting when our coffee orders came out that his would just be like a rabbit in a hat.
Yeah, just a slight little, was this your card, sir? No, I don't know about that one. And also, but it shows that he isn't a magician. He explained it to you. Because the one thing that a magician ever does, reveal their secrets.
That's so true.
Explained exactly what a magic is to you, and therefore he's probably being kicked out of the guild.
A mystery.
You should have told me if you wanted the X-Files music. We do all our own sound effects here on the show.
Yeah, my motto is, if you can do it yourself.
Don't tell Nick about it.
A mystery, okay? The mystery of a book and a plane ticket. It's taken over my entire weekend.
Wait, I'll just quickly do those sound effects. That's my airplane sound effect.
Perfect. So, I was in an op shop over the weekend, and I'm not really a reader, but my dad keeps telling me I need to read more.
Yeah.
So I've said, okay, I'll give it a go. So I went to the book section of the op shop, and I was scrolling through the titles, having a look at the, you know, the blurbs on the back, and there was this one book that looks like pretty interesting. Thought to myself, oh, maybe I'll buy it. It was $3.99. I thought,
probably a bargain as far as books go.
100%. And so I thought, okay, I might buy it. And then I gave a little flick through the book, and out fell a plane ticket.
Ooh.
Full name. They were flying from Sydney to Melbourne.
Okay.
This book has now arrived in regional Victoria.
Ooh.
Okay. And it was business class. The ticket was business class.
So you know this is the book of someone with money who's probably pretty successful.
Right. And so literally my mind was like,
following their footsteps.
Right. If I want to be a badass woman that flies business class,
absolutely,
I should read this book. And so, of course, I bought the $3.99 book, and I was like, okay, I'm going to read this. Then cut to the next day. I've done a bit of Googling. I can't really find her on LinkedIn.
Are you trying to track her down?
Yeah. Well, I thought maybe
she's probably a CEO of something.
In my mind, this is a sign, right? Like some kind of universe thing saying, you should know who this woman is.
Do you think that's how other stalkers feel? Do you think that's how people that creep on celebrities feel? Like the universe is pulling me towards them.
I guess when you put it like that. Anyway, I couldn't find her anyway, so it was fine,
thank
right?
God.
But I still had this real like deep affiliation with this woman and this book. And so I started reading it on the V-Line yesterday, and I actually ended up smashing out almost 200 pages of this book because it was actually really enthralling. And I really enjoyed it.
Well, if you ever met her, you'd have something to talk about, which is nice.
Well, here's the thing. As I'm reading the book, I get closer to the end and I realize that it's earmarked, like doggy, whatever the thing
is.
Where you...
She hasn't got a bookmark. She doesn't know how to use the actual bookmark she's put in there.
Yeah, she's just folded the corner of the page, right? Yeah. She didn't even finish the book.
Isn't that quite disappointing?
I was like, if I had seen that when I was buying the book, I would not have bought the book. This book can't be that good if you've finished like 80 pages before the finish.
She's clearly not that successful. She's had to sell it to make some money back on it at the op shop.
Letters from Jules.
Dear Diary.
What did young Jules write back in the day?
It's not young Jules, and it's not what she wrote back in the day. It's current Jules. And it's what she is saying to us from the other side of the world. Postcards from Jules, actually, is this little segment here. She joins us live. We're about to tell you right now, Jules.
Ciao, ciao, bello, bella. Oh. I am in the land of Italy, Nick and Em.
The land of Italy.
It's the land the boot, of the big Italy. Boot.
The big boot with the ball. It's been a fair few days and nights of drinking. Tomorrow we get on the island of Capri, but I think right now I'm in Sorrento. Not the Victorian one, but the Italian Sorrento.
Pretty funny that you're like, I think.
Like, she said it's been a few big nights.
Guys, at the start of the trip, I'm like halfway through. At the start of the trip, I was like checking the maps, reading up things like the A-plus nerd I am. And now I'm just like, jump on the bus to tell us where we eventually are. I'm just rolling with it, guys.
That's so funny. You just kind of became more and more lax. You're like, we'll get to where we're going, wherever that may be. I don't mind.
Jules, you're in Italy right now. Italy right now. Yeah, where have you been the last few days, though, before you get to Italy?
Look, great question. We did French Riviera. We did Barcelona.
See?
And then we're just going through, eventually going to get up to the top of Europe and do a full circle round clock and hope for the best. And not get hit by a Vespa.
Well, that's just a lot of hoping for the best. What have been some of the highlights? Tell us. I mean, you know, again, living vicariously through your Euro summer.
Look, the theme of the trip so far, it's been like 2.5 weeks in, is perseverance. So everyone's got the Contiki cough. There's like 50 of us that are crammed into this air-conditioned bus every single day.
How many of there are you?
I think there's about 50 now from Australia, New Zealand, Canada, America.
A 52-seater bus.
Everyone
makes sense.
Is out partying. Mm. Yes, we went to a karaoke bar last night. Everyone got on the piss, as you can imagine. And
are you drunk now?
As the Italians like to say, la piss.
On the piss. We did go to Pisa, that's right. We did that too. And there was this
the land of the peas.
And there was this one chick who, I think late last week, she has fractured her leg. She's soldiering on. She's walking around with crutches everywhere. She was the life of the party on the dance floor. Everyone made way for her, and she has to move.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's got that stanky leg out on the dance floor.
This honestly sounds so hectic.
How did she fracture it?
It's hectic. She tried to do up her shoes after skinny dipping on the beach.
Okay, well, yeah, that second part seems to be more important because I've tied my shoes up successfully before.
It was 40 degree heat, these guys. It was a bit much. And also a highlight of my trip so far has been, technically the term is like a little person. We've got a little person, a shorter guy, a shorter stature on the trip. Mm-hmm. He's probably about as tall as my 2-year-old niece.
Yep.
And you'd think that he would be like, you know, a bit more cautious. No, he's hanging off the side of monuments. He's running through the train tracks.
Huh.
He is absolutely smashing out Genuine Pony on the karaoke bar. He is owning this trip right now.
He sounds like a delinquent.
So
he sounds like his Europe's worst nightmare. He's hanging off the edge of monuments.
Yeah, he might get red carded soon. Who's to say?
Yeah, he's the reason why the tower is leaning in Pisa. Maybe he corrected it. Like he got out and hangs it from the right angle. All right, well, look, Jules, we'll let you get back to drinking. I assume that's what you're doing right now. What time is it in Sorrento?
If that's where you are.
It's about 9 o'clock in Sorrento. I think there's a few limoncellas that are calling my name.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll let you. Yeah. Arrivederci. Ciao.
Arrivederci.
Buonanotte.
Tutte bene.
See. Until next time. Thanks, Jules.
Bye.
Bye. Nick and Jules.
That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Whether it's a friend or a neighbour, you could employ them as your disability support worker. Visit caresolutions.com.au.